Leave meeting.
Whack.
Won't do it.
Take him out. Take him out.
Get him out of here.
I don't want to, can't, not the government. All right.
You look like the government in that jacket.
You look kind of hungry. You want a big bag? Burger,
this is going to be fun. I'm excited.
I'm glad I recorded. I'm going to use this. I'm going to chop this in there somewhere. All right, hold on.
Hello. Hello. Hey, Mom.
What is up? It is your boy, Soulful Sage. And as you see, it's a little quieter because it's actually only your boy, Soulful Sage, for this episode of the podcast. Y'all already know this is around the time Omarion is going rampant. The flu is trying to flex, and apparently they have a baby child now called Florona. Everybody's getting sick, but your boy Soulful Sage was able to make it today, as long with a special guest. So today's topic, you already know, we're going to be talking about balancing your art, the balancing act, as well as we're going into a little other form of spoken soul. Laughing soul, because our guest is a stand-up comedian as well, talking about his transition from both. So I've already mentioned a few of his things. Let me go into detail about who this amazing king is. This is, today we're going to be talking about John Bercy, a Dallas native, grew up in Oak Cliff and Waxahachie, so he is Texas through and through, graduated from Fisk, and even pledged with the one and only Kappa.
One
Noops
only.
In the house.
What?
Noops in the house.
111.
And he is also raising two beautiful daughters. And funny enough, he used to be my boss as well. So this is for me to get a better reference for my next job. So welcome, John Bercy.
What's up, y'all? First off, thank you, Boston, for having me. I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to be able to be interviewed. So thank you, Boston. I appreciate it.
Man, anytime, anytime. You are someone who is worth it and worthy to be getting interviewed, for sure, for sure. So starting it off, man, how you been doing? What's life been like?
Man, I think it's been rough for everybody, I think, especially with, like you said, Omarion making his way through the communities.
Breakdancing his way through.
Breakdancing at that. And it seemed like he's really breaking it down in our community. So I think with that, and then like you said, plus the flu rona, just surviving that. Crazy enough, my job just shut down their offices, their main offices, for the next 2 weeks. So I'm working from home. That's how bad it is. But outside of that, man, I'm just surviving, working, doing shows. I had a show New Year's Eve, gig New Year's Eve that went really good. Raising these two beautiful girls. That's about it, man.
That's what's up, man. That's real good to hear. That's real good to hear. I wish my job paid me for gigs. They just tell me to show up. I go, same pay, same salary, regardless of what happens. Regardless of what happens. But man, talking about your shows, I know you do stand up now, but word on street, you used to do spoken word, right? Where you used
absolutely
to be a poet too? Tell us about
absolutely
that.
Absolutely. So I think I started doing poetry in right before high school. I've always been acting. I'm still acting, currently acting to this day. But I had one of my acting coaches when I was in eighth grade asked me to learn a poem. It was called Knock Knock by Daniel Butte. Okay. And I had to learn that and perform it. And I think that really, I'm more of a performing poet, but I also write. But I think that was more so what kicked everything off for me. And then when I went to Fisk, I was able to I was a part of the recruiting team, and what we would do, we would go around local high schools and sometimes out of state. And me and one of my friends, we would do our poetry for recruitment. They would pay us to do poetry for recruitment purposes.
Oh, snap. Oh, dang. Yeah. I didn't know all that. That's what's
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. Boston learned something new.
Hey, look, facts. Learned something. Thought you knew somebody. You never did. You never actually knew. But okay, well, then keep going. So did you ever do shows here in Dallas as well? So I know it sounded very active at Fisk with traveling. What about here?
Well, not so much in Dallas. As far as poetry goes, I've done a few open mic nights. And when I say do a few open mic nights, I went to open mic night and got begged to get on stage for that open mic night.
Hey,
so, I mean, outside of that, because they know when I was heavy in the scene, they would want me to get on stage, but I really wouldn't. I kind of put the mic down as far as poetry goes.
Well, okay. Oh, don't be shy, John. Read your poems. I remember them, Darren. I think you performed two of them.
Yeah, and I believe so.
And we were like shook. I was like, what? This man, when you gonna do more? You're like, nah, man. That's my back. That's my other stuff. That's John, not Mr. Burst. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, sir.
I couldn't share too much with y'all. Couldn't share too much.
That's another path. After work. But okay, so you went from poetry, performing poet, and using it to recruit for Fist, killing the open mic scene over here in Dallas. And now, somehow in the mix, you're now doing stand-up comedy. What was that transition like? And what was that like? Tell me about it.
It's actually pretty crazy, Boston. I always knew that I love being on stage. I love feeding off of the energy from crowds. I guess it was more so finding my niche, finding what I love to do. Growing up, I loved sketch comedy. I mean, mainly Dave Chappelle show, but I love sketch comedy. So I think that played like a heavy hand in me. When I got back home from college, I was doing open mics for poetry. I went to a open mic stand-up night. And I was like, man, these guys, I really love what they're doing, especially how they would interact with the crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, and then there was moments where I love doing poetry because I love to discuss social topics in my poetry. And I loved it. I think what hooked me with the comedy, especially, I won't give too much about my favorite comic, but I love it when you're able to make a social impact or discuss things that are going on socially and what you believe in within those social constructs, and then to be able to deliver it as a joke as well. I think that's a hidden talent. It's a hidden gem. So facts. I would say just coming back home, watching a few of the local Dallas stand-ups and watching how they were comfortable on the stage kind of helped me with my transition from doing poetry to stand-up comedy.
That's what's up, man. That's a transition I don't think I've even thought about fathoming that would happen. And it's funny that what connects them for you, besides your love of being on stage, is definitely your political commentary discussion, which
absolutely
funny thing enough is known for me on stage with you, man.
Get the boy on stage now.
Hey, I'm going with you next show. But what both of them can definitely heavily be known for. And I know you said you didn't want to talk about your favorite comedian, but I'm gonna ask you, who's your favorite comedian now?
Absolutely. I didn't want to give too much about him. That's all. Oh. I don't want to give too much. The seat's hot for him these days. But no, I would say my favorite comedian is definitely Dave Chappelle. I have legends. I have a list of legends of my favorite stand-up comedians, but my current and present favorite comedian, and has been since I was little, is Dave Chappelle. I've been following his stand-up since before he started the Dave Chappelle Show, and then long after the Dave Chappelle Show. So, like I said, I just love how he grew as an artist. I think even if you watch his early days, he talks about very goofy, funny stuff. He doesn't really dig deep into the social constructs of things because he knows the consequences of digging deep into those things. As he grew as an artist, especially when he got back from Africa, he started to dive deep into those social constructs. And as you can see, it got him into what some, most people call gotten him to be canceled. Yeah. How many times has Dave Chappelle been canceled in the past 2 or 3 years now? And it hasn't affected anything that he's done. Yeah. And I think it's just because he's coming from a genuine place and he's talking about the things that he stands for and that he believes in.
Yeah. And out of all your favorite. Yeah, you chose the most controversial right now. That is for sure.
Hands down.
I think that comes with the territory, especially today. Yeah. When you stand for something and when you're trying to say, hey, these are my thoughts, of course you're going to be either considered controversial or not.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but if you're trying to talk about something and really discuss it, I think that's just bound to happen. So, no, that's understandable. That's understandable. Well, I don't know if it's the same, but do you model your stand-up skills or, I don't even know what to call it, stand-up art community, your craft of being stand-up comedian, do you model it after anybody or have influences? Who are your influences?
I would say, I try to model, because one thing I admire about Dave Chappelle's stand-up is that he tells a story, a larger story, while telling smaller stories.
Right.
He always, there's always like a story that he sets up, a joke that he sets up at the beginning, or a story that he sets up at the beginning that he can punch into at any point of his stand-up. And he typically ends the show with that story that he started with, the bigger story that sometimes he punches in the little stories throughout the show. So I think I try to do that, but you can catch me on my Bernie Mac stuff all the time as well, especially when I get a couple hacklers. I get going on their ass. it just depends. I guess it really just depends on the crowd of the night.
Okay. How many do you get? A lot of hecklers? Is that as like common?
Yeah, it's
as
a
it
lot
really
more
is?
Relevant than you think it would be. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think Dallas is nice. So I don't think I really have, anytime I performed in Dallas, I haven't really gotten any hecklers. But Fort Worth, there's definitely hecklers in Fort Worth. Austin got some really nasty hecklers.
I ain't surprised. I feel like Austin would be having hella people line up just to heckle. I can see that.
But I get their ass back, boss, and I get them back, man. I'll be having that shit. Okay. You better get the heckler. You better get the me, or that guy before me, because I'm coming back for you.
Yes, sir. Get him. I want to ask, how do you like read the room and you're like, okay, I'm a joke back, or is there any time you're also just like, I ain't even gonna say that?
If I'm trying to tell a story, like if I'm in the middle of telling a story, then I'll play it light, especially if I got some hecklers, because I'm trying to set up to something bigger, so I don't want to mess up me set up the bigger trying to address a heckler. But most times I read the room before I go on stage. Okay. If I feel like it's a night that I'm gonna kind of free flow, or if I'm gonna free flow, then I'm checking the room and I'm gonna see any like points that I can make jumps on before I go on stage.
Okay.
And but if I'm gonna stick to my story, or if I'm gonna stick to my, you know, the stories that I had outlined, then I'm going, I may pick a few notes from the crowd, say those at the beginning, but outside of that, I'm gonna stick to the script that I've written for myself for the most part.
Okay, not bad. I always wondered about that too. I'm like, man, they plan? Do they just, they got like a separate joke list?
Sometimes it comes to you. It comes to you though, especially when you had a bad hecklers. It comes to you. Yeah, okay. It comes to you. Yeah.
Okay, bet. And then, of course, I have to ask this. Which one is more difficult for you? Stand up or spoken poem or spoken word?
That's tough. I know people would expect me to probably say poetry, only because poetry comes from like a really deep and emotional place. But what people probably don't realize is comedy does too, especially when you... When you're giving it from a perspective of yourself, like you're telling stories from a personal place, or you're telling experiences that you've experienced. So, I mean, I think I'm gonna say poetry, only because poetry is a lot harder for me to write.
Poetry
was a lot harder for me to write, whereas comedy, it kind of comes natural to me. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's as simple as that for me. Poetry, I had to actually, it was more of a challenge, whereas comedy comes natural to me when I'm up on stage.
Oh, okay. I'm actually surprised. I thought you were going to say stand-up. I'm not going to lie.
No. Okay. I love stand-up, man. I love it. I didn't realize how much of a natural I'd be, or how much I, not even I won't say natural, but how much I would love it until I actually jumped on stage and did it.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Well, y'all, this is just only the beginning. We about to get even deeper and more into it. We're about to have a little commercial break. You're going to hear one of our lovely Spoken Soul verses telling you about Ko-Fi and so much more. But we'll be right back. All right, y'all. Welcome back. Welcome back. I wish I heard during this commercial break, this man over here, a comedian. But, talking about my commercial
break. No, y'all. Boston put his NPR voice on for us. It's National Public Radio voice. He's got the jacket and everything, y'all. Don't f*** with Boston.
He said, this ain't Boston, I know. This is his job. Who this man? Soulful Sage, huh?
That's Soulful Sage. God damn. I will never forget it, Boston. I did not know that was your stage name.
That's what they call me. That's what they usually I got the do-rag on too.
It's okay. Oh God. Oh man. I'm at the next show, Boston. Don't you worry. I'm at the next show.
That's too funny, man. All right. Well, we're about to get even thicker into it. I love what you were talking about with your transition and how you worked comedy, how it actually comes natural. I know before this, I was saying I was surprised, and I kind of am, because I know I've seen like people who are funny, but they can't do like stand-up funny. Because it's definitely like, it's one thing to be like situational funny. Like you can see people, they're hilarious in the show. But as soon as they talk, it's like, yeah, man, it doesn't hit the same. It does not hit the same. Did you ever see those difficulties when you first started doing stand-up? Like, I know you said it came naturally, but what are some of the early difficulties you had to teach yourself about the craft?
Man, a ton of them. I I'm thankful because I just watched this show called, I don't know if you've seen it on Netflix, but it's called 20-somethings. It's about some 20-year-olds getting a setup in Austin, some people buying them a house in Austin. They're all across the country. They get to move into the house and decide whether they're going to live in Austin or whatever and stay in Austin. So blah, blah, blah. Fast forward, there's this guy from L.A., this quirky white guy, right?
Yeah.
He's a stand-up comedian, bro. And he said, like, he found his niche in L.A. and so he came to Austin and he did stand-up. And I shit you not, they didn't have to play the little cricket sounds while he was standing up there, because there was actual crickets going on in the background. It was bad, man. And I'm watching that, I'm thankful that I've never had like one of those moments. Like, it's either for me, my experiences so far, it's either I've gotten a bunch of laughs or I've gotten hecklers. It's never been like dead silent. So, like, that dead silence isn't something I can work with.
I feel like that must be the worst, to not get any type of reaction.
No reaction. At least with a heckler, I can go back and forth with you. I can recover off of that heckle. But if it's silence, man, that's tough. I'm thankful for that. But I think for me, it was just starting up. It was more so getting over my nervous quirks on stage, because I'm not used to doing comedy. I'm used to doing poetry. Right. There's nervous things that come out while I'm on stage. I found that I would pace the stage back and forth.
Spoken word tactics, some poetry tactics right there.
So instead of me which it looks weird versus when you're doing comedy versus when you're doing poetry. I think not pacing, if you look nervous versus looking confident, pacing the stage, going back and forth across stage. So I learned that with comedy, that I have that nervous tick. And then I put my hand in my pocket when I'm telling comedy. So I have my mic in one hand and my hand in my pocket in the other, which messes up when I'm trying to do like gestures. I'll get my hand caught in my jacket trying to do a fucking gesture with a joke. I think it's just nervous quirks was one of my things when I first started getting over those when I got on stage.
Okay. Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that. Like, yeah. And I guess coming out of poetry, there are definitely things you have to, like, just change.
Yeah, there's things you have to change. And even when you're with poetry, like, it's punchlines that you know that you're going to get people. And how you deliver those punchlines is crucial. I mean, it's the same thing in comedy, but it's a different delivery, if that makes sense.
Okay. Go more into that. So, like, do you have an example of where it came out in your comedy where you were like, I'll do it like this in poetry, but then in comedy, you're like, different reaction.
Absolutely. My speed. So, for example, in poetry, it's elusive. It's almost sexy when you switch the tenor of your speed and then slow back down and then pick back up, especially when your words are smooth. But, like, when you do that in comedy, people miss the texture of your story. There's key things that you can miss that set up for a joke in your punchline for the next thing.
Oh, wow. That's funny. I even think that's actually really funny.
Yeah, speed, man. That's got me in trouble on stage with comedy before. Just my speed, talking too fast. Okay. Whereas with my poetry, I could pick up the pace and slow it back down. I mean, because as you know, a lot of times I would utilize rewind when I'm doing poetry. So if there was something that I said a little quicker that still sounded good, but they wanted to hear it again, they'll just say rewind. But you can't necessarily do that in comedy.
Yeah, it takes away the funny. Yeah. That's true. It takes it away. You're like, you want me to say it again? No. Like,
no, move to the next joke. Suck.
Get off the stage. Okay. That's funny. Shoot. Yeah. What else would you say is the difference? So that makes sense, especially like stage presence and just speed. That's one thing I never thought of. Like, oh yeah, when you have to change it, I guess. Yeah, because when you're talking, and there's no like fast comedians, I guess. Yeah, there's not really anybody that's like,
I'm trying to think. Not that I can think of. It's just gonna, because you miss so much in the story when you're speeding through.
Right, and every part of it's the joke. The whole thing is the joke. You have
exactly.
Okay. What else would you say is a big difference?
So the last show I had, it actually was a poetry slam and a comedy. It started with the poetry and then it ended with the comedy. And it was my first time ever being the first comedian on stage. So that was nerve-wracking. And then being the first comedian on stage and it being a star lineup, like there was three other comedians after me that they were professionals. it was not amateur night that night. But it's crazy because I can kind of tell the vibe beforehand. I'm like, oh man, these dudes are professionals. They're not. This isn't open mic anymore. Open mic. So I think even noticing the difference in between the two, I think crowd reaction is very different, even listening, because I was the first person to go on with comedians. I had to watch the last two poets go on. Mm-hmm. And like the intimacy of the crowd with poetry is a lot different than the crowd of comedy. You can expect, or your expectations are even to go in a little rough when you go in for comedy, because you want to expect like hecklers, or you want to expect like people to be quiet. But when it comes to poetry, there's a sense of intimacy to it. Like you go in, one, you're letting down your guard. I mean, even with comedy, you're letting down your guard, but you're letting down your guard in a different sense, especially depending on the piece that you're about to present with poetry. Yeah. You're letting down a major guard. I mean, because most time poetry is coming from a very deep place. So I think I would just say the intimacy of the crowd. When you're presenting your piece and you're flowing with the crowd, it's a different feeling than when you're telling your jokes to the crowd for stand-up.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Wow. That's dope, man. That's such a dope connection. I always like see, but to like your experience in that too. You're like, oh, this is my spoken. This is my poetry, so you know, we come in friendly.
How y'all feeling? I got nervous that show, Boston. Oh, yeah. I know I'm a bomb ass poet. I was they may just have one more poet on stage tonight. Like, I can't
let me switch it up real quick.
I can't be first comedian.
Oh man, I can only that opening vibe.
Yeah, man.
That opening act. Woo! Could it be tough. Me either, man? Could
it be me either? It was tough.
Was there anything from poetry? So instead of talking about differences, looking at similarities, was there anything from poetry that you're able to bring to comedy that just made your act even better, or just made you flow into the craft even better?
I think a lot of people could agree, but I just think personal experience.
Okay.
Being able to write from a true, genuine, and personal space, it always has helped me being able to connect with the crowd. So whether that be poetry, whether that be comedy, coming from a place telling my stories, not telling anybody else's stories or anything like that, telling my point of view, telling what I believe in, it helps me connect with the crowd more.
That's real. That's real. And I feel like that's, I think maybe just in performing or entertaining itself, that might be one of the most crucial things for any art form, for real. Mm-hmm. Showing your truth.
Pour yourself into it. The moment you try to be something else or do something else or be somebody else, it shows in your work. It shows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. People already calling you out. I seen that one, Edmund.
Right, exactly. Hey, whoa, before. Whoa.
Read the room. Grow up. That's what's up, man. That's crazy. That's such a neat transition that it's amazing experience to like see both sides that you have and to even like do them both successfully too. And I know like it's still beginning of your comedy, at least what has it been like a year now or so?
Not even a year.
Pandemic definitely ain't helping shows either.
No, it's slowing it down, but I mean, I'm thankful that the comedy scenes down here, they're real heavy on mask mandates, so things haven't shut down yet. I'm thinking there'll probably be a shutdown soon.
That's fair. It's getting a little too thick.
Especially with Flo Rida coming in. I think that may hurt.
Flo Rida.
I think Flo Rida may get us.
It is. That's gonna be what took it out. That's
the straw that broke the camel's back.
Oh man. So transitioning from talking about spoken word and comedy, I want to talk about the rest of your life as well. So I know you're putting a lot of work into comedy. How does that even work with? I know your job lets you go home now, so you work from home. That definitely helped. But I know you have kids. I know you have all things going on. How do you even keep all this up?
Boston, I'm still trying to figure it out myself.
Man!
I think I'd be damned to not give credit to my partner. I would be in a shitstorm without my partner. She helps me a lot when it comes to my girls, especially with our daily routine. A lot of people probably don't know this, but I have full custody of both of my daughters.
And, ooh.
But with having full custody, I am privileged and I'm thankful in the sense because I do co-parent. Although I do have full custody, I do co-parent. So I get my girls every week. So I have them 1 week and then they'll go to their mom the next week. 1 week, then the next week. So I have my girls 1 week on, 1 week off. So I'm thankful and I'm privileged in that sense because I know everybody doesn't have that same situation. But even with the weeks that I do have my girls, the routine that it takes to be able to do comedy, to be able to still write my jokes, go to work, do all those things that I need to, I'll be very hard, not impossible, but very hard for me to do that without my partner. So a big shout out goes to her. I think outside of that, it's just creating a routine, being disciplined to that routine, because sometimes, you'll create a routine, but you won't stick to it.
Right.
But sticking to that schedule, sticking to that routine, being disciplined and sticking to that creates space. And you create a schedule for yourself. And when you start to get on that routine, you see little pockets of time that you can put other activities or other things that you can do to better yourself in that pocket of time that you created for yourself. So I think most importantly, just creating a schedule and being disciplined within that schedule.
That's what's up. First off, shout out to the partners out there.
Yeah.
I know yours is working hard. I know she is.
She's been getting ready to start on some hair in just a little bit. So
putting in the hours. That's incredible. It's first off amazing that y'all are working through this together. I love that for y'all. And I love that co-parenting is working out for y'all too. Because I know there's how many movies, songs, stories,
man, real life, all of that. All of that. That's why I say I recognize my privilege in that sense, man. Yeah. I really do. It could be bad.
Beyond it, man. For real, man. I feel like that definitely changes so much. Like having somebody there that understands, helps you out in working with you. Boy, I remember when I was doing my master's program, when I was in it, another conversation. That was, I think, my partner. She was there for me. Like, do you need some help? Hey, come over. I actually made something. We can spend our time working together.
Man, it makes a hell of a difference, boss. Instead of being somewhere miserable.
Yeah, it's just alone doing it all.
Yeah.
I hate this. Who am I?
Yeah, but for real.
Let me ask. So I know you mentioned a few things. You mentioned disciplined. That routine, are those like your biggest like key things that make it all work? Like if you had to point to like single, like without this, it wouldn't even be possible besides like having a partner right by you. Would you say those two are like it for sure? Trying to structure?
Of course, I'd be wrong without saying faith in God, of course. But without faith in God and then just, because it's easy to say be disciplined, but it's not easy to be disciplined, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's that. I think discipline and pushing myself to be disciplined is one of the biggest attributes to that. Yeah.
Okay. And what do you say keeps you disciplined? Because let me tell you something. I understand not being disciplined.
It'll be easy
for it to rock off. What keeps you there? What keeps you there?
I would, as far as, I mean, my responsibilities definitely keep me disciplined in that sense. As far as making sure that I have a roof over my head, roof over my children, I mean, my daughters.
Yeah.
Are the responsibility that I'm speaking of. Because shit has to be taken care of around here for them. So I think responsibilities keep me disciplined in that aspect. But I would say as far as every other aspect of my life, like with following my passion, I again would like to give a shout out to my partner, because there were times that I was like, I don't want to do this shit. I'm scared. I'm nervous. I don't want to get on stage. This crowd looks rough tonight. This crowd looks rough. So, and she would push me on stage. She always likes to throw this quote in my face that I threw in her face when she was scared about something. But I may be misquoting it, but it's a famous quote. It says, whenever you have the feeling of fear, it's easy to run away, but there's typically something on the other side of that door that is greater than the fear that you're running away from. Yeah. So she likes to throw that back in my face when I get nervous. When I get nervous about getting on stage.
Throw
that back in my face. So I think with that and just oftentimes I drift off when I think about an unfulfilled life. And that's, I don't want to get to a place in my life to where I'm old and I feel that I didn't actually give a chance to pursuing the things that I love in this life, pursuing the things that I really want to do in this life. Because I think you get to 50, you get to 40, you get to 50, and you're like, well, damn, what have I done? What have I done with my life? And I don't want to ask myself that question and then not be able to say, damn, at least you gave it all you did for the things that you love in this world.
Yeah.
So I think I would say that question for sure keeps me disciplined.
Damn, that's the realest, man. I 100% feel that. That's like, cause I hate it when I see like people that are like all the way up seats, like, man, I never tried this. And then like you get to a point where you can't even.
You can't do it. You can't physically can't do it.
physically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the worst thing. Like, I understand financially not doing something, because you can,
yeah,
you can make enough or save enough eventually, hopefully somehow
to do that. Exactly.
But now you're too old or something. Like, I always want to skydive or something, but I have bad legs, can't even get on a plane.
A bad heart. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The biggest, with a bad heart.
Right. Yeah. Man. Yeah. No. That's the realest thing I've heard, and I definitely understand. I think that would be. That's one thing that makes me keep going too. Whenever I'm like, I'm nervous, I don't want to try this, I just want to feel lazy. I'm like, I just lay back, and then they'll be like, you know, you won't be able to do this in like 30 years. And you know, my thing is martial arts. So I really got a limited amount of time of how many people I can fight. Like, I can't be out here looking like late Mike Tyson. Well, he's different, but anybody else is Mike Tyson.
Right, that man is right.
Trying to fight, who am I?
He'll whoop somebody ass right now.
He has. He's
right.
He does. For no reason. I'm like, I can't be that right now. I can't be the Michael J. White yet, so no. I should do it today. But no, man, that's so real. That's so real. But looking at that, so I know responsibilities, your discipline, your routine, and just like literally everyone pushing you, knowing that you're trying to fulfill everything. Is there anything you wish you could change about how you balance it? Like, is there anything you wish you could give more time to or take away from? What about that in a perfect world?
Well, I think in a perfect world, I would, that's always tough because, you know, there, when creating a schedule and getting in your routine, there's always things that you realize that you can like do better in, you know? But until you get into that routine and you actually, until you try or until you get into a routine, you won't notice the time or the room that you have for things. So, if I could go back, I think something that I would do differently about my routines, it would probably just be trying things earlier. You know, like, I think as we get older, we like separate ourselves from the inner child that we were. So it's harder to find those things that like, oh God, that spark a feeling inside of us that actually, that feeling of passion that make us want to go chase that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think had I had not like pushed myself away from comedy for so long, I would have tried it and then I would have done it and I would have been on my journey a lot sooner. Right. So I would just say, if there's something that I would, you know, change about, you know, the routines or the schedules that I've created for myself, I would just try things a lot sooner to connect with the inner child in myself.
That's some good. Y'all hear that? Connect with your inner child sooner. If y'all get anything out the episode, put that in the tagline. Burn that one. That is what it's going to be. Connect with it. That's what's up.
Yeah.
I know. I ain't that old yet, but I'm trying.
Nah, exactly. Exactly, man. Don't put my age out there now, boss. Don't do that.
I ain't saying nothing.
Don't do that.
You're young, bro. You still in your prime. I'm trying to be like you. But I feel like that disappears so early, too. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, I know people getting that 18 over here, like, now it's time to grow up and do this.
Yeah, it's time to grind now. Like, no, bro.
Don't listen to Instagram.
Man, you still gotta figure out who you are.
Right.
Exactly. You gotta figure out who you are, what you love.
Exactly. You still learning. This ain't no Forex trading, bro. Come on. You are okay. You are okay.
You better stop. You know, miles away.
I know.
Yeah, hey, you better chill.
They got me right now. What you wake up and do this morning?
Right.
Check it yet? No, no, man, that's so good though. I feel like that's beautiful, man, and I feel like that's great. And I know you still got time to explore it too. So keep on.
Yeah, absolutely. On.
I know I am. I got a whole Power Ranger toy back there.
I urge everybody, anybody that gets to listen to this, I urge everyone to like. On the weekend, I have my kids. I try to. Try something new with them, that so maybe they'll like it, maybe they won't, And then even on the weekends that I don't have them, either me or my partner or myself will try something new for ourselves also. Just to see something that, you know, maybe something that we like that we can connect to and they'll connect to and have fun doing, or even connect to spark a passion in.
What's up? Everyone be a father or a parent like John over here, man. This parent of the year. If I have a clap hand, I'll do a little clap sound effect for you, man. That's what's up, and that's good. That's definitely you as a teacher, man. That means so much to them. I can tell when my kids do something fun that sparks it like that, and you're doing it with your own. That's some core memories being made for sure.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Well, going into it, man, this is going to be one of the last points I'm going to talk to you about. You already talked about how you balance it, how you make your routine. Now let's look at how do you fix it. Is there ever a time that you feel like something's taking over? So it's bleeding into other things. I know this has to be something everyone relates to because it happened to me with that master's program, taking over too much. Mm-hmm. How do you compensate and fix it? And what advice do you have for us?
Absolutely. it's crazy. This happened just last week, as a matter of fact. So on Thursdays, I'm getting real vulnerable here. On Thursdays, my daughters, they go to my mom's because typically on Friday mornings, I have to get up and go to, I have to be at work a little bit early on Fridays. Which sucks, by the way, which sucks, especially if you had a show the previous night. It's like, man, I was the man last night. I had screaming my name. Now I got to go and I'm just fucking at work again.
Not just John.
Just fucking. But that's besides the point. I took them to my mom's and my mom got on to me about making sure that their hair is a certain way when they leave the house. Making sure, and mind you, I got into it with my argument with my mom about their clothes being, I iron them. Just to be clear, I iron my daughter's clothes every morning, every single morning. But my mom, on that particular Thursday, my mom got them at the end of the day and their clothes were wrinkled. So again, she's just doing it from a grandparent standpoint. And I think just adding your, asking your, asking, I'm sorry. I think I said all that to say that I got very wrapped up in my comedy. I've gotten a lot of shows these past 2 months or 1 month. I got a show, pay gigs and then invites to come on like open mics and things like that. So. Got swept up in that I started to lose myself in my responsibilities that came with being a father. So I think the advice that I would give you is one, be honest with yourself. And we all have people in our life that hold us accountable, right? But oftentimes when they bring things to us, we tend to get on the defense because it's hard to hear those things and digest those things. So that's why I say, be honest with yourself so that it's easier to have a conversation with those people that you have in your life, because you need those people in your life to bring you back down to earth, to bring you back down. So I think being honest with yourself is the first step so that you can be able to receive what that person in your life is telling you. Because if they're investing their time to tell you those things, because they care about you.
Right.
So
Say it again.
they're investing that time in you because they care about you. So they want to see you be your best in all areas of your life, not just the area that you think that you're thriving in. So be honest with yourself so that you can be able to receive what those people in your lives are telling you, so that you can continue to grow in areas of your life that you think that you are doing great in and that you're even lacking. So just being honest with yourself, having constant conversations with yourself about things that you can be better in, areas that, not beating yourself up or deterring yourself, just honest conversations about where you're at and how you can be better.
That's real.
That's
some good advice. Yes. You need, when you coming back, man? When you
come back anytime. Hey, y'all can have me anytime.
And that's so real, man. I think that's one of the hardest things for people to not only hear, but do.
Yeah.
Being able to be honest, and I feel like not enough people have that conversation with themselves. Honest conversation with themselves specifically. Because people say, I talk to myself, but if you're just hyping it, hey, or yeah, just
you
just that,
spit nonsense at yourself. You might as well be watching TV.
Might as well, because it don't count no more. It don't exactly. Even count. But no, those are two things. Those are two of the realest things. And I know I had to learn that too. Like this, I think this past year, and definitely stepping out, work and everything and all that even more, has definitely brought those conversations to a much realer place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Much realer. Because when you're not just worrying about yourself, but you're worrying like, man, how am I going to make sure we eat or they eat and all this? If anyone's going to have to get this right, it really will have to be me. So it has that urgency to it, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Hell yeah.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Thank you. Your advice on balancing not only is helping us, helping everyone who listens, helping me personally, because your boy be tripping. That's all I'm falling over responsibilities. I loved what you had to tell us about that, and definitely bring that to my life. And I loved your experiences in spoken word and how your comedy experiences are just beginning. Because I know it's going to go further. Have me.
Hopefully I can come back to the show and tell y'all about some more experiences, on stage experiences.
Man, deal, man. You better follow us on Instagram and all that. We got
absolutely.
You. We got you. Talking about that, do you have any socials you want us to follow?
And you know, I needed to do better about that. I really do. I really do. Because I knew I was getting plugged on here. And I do this after every show. What's your social media? I just give my Facebook, man. It's just John. My Facebook is, and I'm creating an Instagram. And it's so funny that I used it because I want to, my stage name is going to be Just John. So I'm going to get that Instagram together. But when it is out there, so when you do air this, maybe it'll be done. And it's Just John. It'll be Just John on Instagram. Yep.
So,
but otherwise, on Facebook, you can find me. It's JMCG. JMCG on Facebook. There you go.
Y'all heard it first. Right now, Facebook is live for our boy John. And hopefully, just type in Just John and see if it's up. That would be his Instagram name for a direct messaging and conversations to his comedy. Well, thank you, John, so much for that, man. That was really good.
No problem.
And before we leave, we got us a little game we got to play.
Let's do it.
It is called This or That. What I am going to do, usually I say we, but as you see, it's only one of me, bars. I'm going to say two things. No time to think, no discussion. If you have a question, then of course you can say that. But just go off reaction. You choose this or that. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Do I say this or that? Or
No, you just say like, the thing.
Oh, which one I want? Okay.
Yeah. So if I want like apples or bananas,
I got you.
You would say the one
you
want.
Yeah, apples. Yeah.
There we go. I see. I was hoping you would say something. It still works out. You got
I got
them.
You. I got you. You. Got them. We got it. We got it now. We here.
Okay. We here. All right. Here I go. First thing, night owl or early bird?
Night owl.
Extrovert, introvert?
Extrovert.
Planner or spontaneous?
Spontaneous.
Create as a hobby or create for a living?
Create as a hobby.
Create inside or create outside?
Create inside.
Known nationwide, known locally?
Nationwide. Locally. God. Yeah,
whichever one. You take it as you want.
Locally.
Okay. And then snack break or nap breaks?
Snack break.
All right. Every time you say snack break, what snacks are you into, John? We got to know the secrets.
What's
comedian snacks?
My go-to is Twix.
Okay.
In the mix. So, Twix. Okay. I think I love chips. So, shit, really, any chips.
Any chips?
Just about any chips. Not dill flavor. The dill That's pickle fair. Chips? Yeah. But I don't like dill chips. Yeah, chips. Okay. Mm-hmm. Chip guy.
Left or right Twix?
Left.
Interesting. That says a lot about you. You know that, right?
It does. Says all it needs to say.
Too much, actually. All right, y'all heard it here. thank you again, John. Remember, look out for his Instagram. That should be hopefully created by now. Just John. Otherwise, follow him on Facebook. You said JMCG?
MCG. Yes, there sir. JMCG, the comedian.
I'm on there. Find them both. All right, man. Thank you for coming out.
Thank you for having me, Boston. I appreciate it, bro.
Always. And this was another episode of Spoken Soul, where we speak from the soul and let our spirit flow. Oh, look at that. Still got it. We'll see y'all later, y'all. See y'all.